You're tuned to Sound Effect, and this week we're telling stories about getting lost. And we're going to wrap up the show this week with a story that was told at our live Sound Effect show. It happened in May at Seattle's Town Hall. Melanie McFarland is a Seattle-based writer, and she did what some of us may have had the urge to do but never actually crossed that line. She looked at her long list of Facebook friends, and with a series of clicks, she unfriended more than half of them. The ones that she kept were her real friends, people she felt she could be totally honest with, people she could call at 4 in the morning. Then one of them went missing. As Melanie tells us, it all started back in 2008.
When the rest of the world was going into one of the worst economic recessions in modern history, I was going into one of the worst depressions of my adult life. In 2008, that was the year that I was still coming to grips with my mother's Alzheimer's diagnosis. I went from a job that I really loved, but I knew it was going to be eliminated, to a job that paid the bills, but my heart just wasn't in. And 2008 was also the year that I witnessed the dissolution, the loss of two of my closest friendships. And as you may know, if you've ever experienced this, if you've lost a friend, you may know that it's a platonic divorce. So you don't just lose the friend, you lose the friends of that friend. So as a result, that was also the year that I went from someone who always had a full social calendar and things to do and places to go, whose phone was always ringing off the hook, to someone who sat there with a dead phone and didn't have much to do at all. I read a lot about the nature of friendship and relationships. I did this for a number of reasons. Number one, I wanted to figure out what it was about me that was so monstrous that no one wanted to be around me. And I also wanted to understand the nature of friendship. What should we expect from our friends? So if you were to talk to me, I could give you a million different quotes and observations about friendship from all the essays and articles and books that I read. But for the purposes of this conversation, I'm going to focus on two. One is a quote. It's a quote from Marlene Dietrich, the actress. And that quote is, "It's the friends you can call up at 4 a.m. that matter." And that quote gave me so much comfort in that time because I had my 4 a.m. friends. So there was that. And then there's a study by an evolutionary psychologist and anthropologist. His name is Robin Dunbar. Robin Dunbar is known for what's called the Dunbar number. And the Dunbar number is 150. 150, according to Robin Dunbar, is the number that the human brain can maintain in terms of maintaining stable relationships. Now, what that means is that any of us can have 150 people that we know their names, know their faces, generally know enough about them to have a conversation. There are subsets within that number, 50. 50 is a number of people that you feel closer to, that you can invite over to your house for dinner or for a big party. Now, those 50 people, if you have a tragedy in your life or something's going wrong, and you put it up on Facebook, those 50 people will give you a like, or actually now that Facebook has new emoticons, a sad face, or a flower. But then there's 15. 15's the number of people that if you're going through a tough time, those people will give you a call. They'll come over to your house. If you can't get up out of bed, they'll bring you food. They'll generally make sure that you're okay. And then there's that other subset of 5. Those are your 4 a.m. friends. So stepping back, I looked at my Facebook page at that time, 2008, and purely out of coincidence, I had about 150 Facebook friends. And I looked down the line at each name on that list and tried to figure out how many of those Facebook friends could I give an honest answer to that question of, how have you been? Not many. So I decided to give myself a little early birthday present of self-care. I poured myself a big glass of wine. I turned the lights down low. I put on some soothing music. And I proceeded to unfriend 60% of the people on my Facebook list. So long, guy who has the email account that commemorates his favorite orgy. Bye-bye, yoga instructor who is single-handedly the meanest, most inflexible, judgmental person, except when she was on the mat. And basically, if you have a given name from your parents and a playa name that you earned from running around at Burning Man, I bid you adieu. All in all, at the end of that early birthday present, I went down to about 50 Facebook friends, 50 people, all of whom I would have over to my home for a party or for dinner. 50 people. That was 2008. It is 2016. I have 860 Facebook friends. How did that happen? Well, Facebook has changed, right? And our relationship with Facebook has changed. But I can tell you definitively, it comes down to two words: Syrian revolution. Now, you may wonder what I have to do with the Syrian revolution. I don't have much to do with it. However, one of my 4 a.m. friends, Dorothy Parvaz, was very connected to the Syrian revolution. In 2011, my phone rang at work. So I remember answering the phone, getting up from my desk to go to someplace private, walking down a hallway, and hearing a Seattle Times reporter. And the reporter said, "Dorothy Parvaz." And I said, "Yeah, it's great. She's working in Al Jazeera English. She's over in Doha. She's doing great." Because I'm thinking this person is asking about, oh, it's a reference. She's going to want to hire Dorothy back so she can come home. And the next words the reporter said was, "She's gone missing." I pulled myself together. I answered the reporter's questions. And I made my way back to my desk. And I went on Facebook, because I knew that somebody out there had the answers, and I was right. Her colleagues at Al Jazeera English had already put together a page for her. Mutual friends of ours who worked with her and with me at the Seattle Times and the Seattle PI were pulling together. People from all over the country who knew her, and even in Canada, where she grew up, they were reaching out to us. We were bonding. We were forming this network. I was friending people left and right. Anybody who could help me get the word out about my missing friend. So all of us did everything we could, and what we did was we wrote. We put things up on Facebook where we talked about how much we missed her. We put demands up on Facebook. Anybody who wanted to talk to me, I spoke to them. And it's a really good thing that we all did that, because in the Iranian prison where Dorothy was being held, her interrogators were looking at everything we were putting up on Facebook. You see, what had happened was, Dorothy is an intrepid reporter, and when the Syrian revolution began, they kicked all of the journalists out of Syria. But reporting still needs to be done. So she went to customs, the officials looked. They asked her some questions. They went through her bag. They found the satellite phone. They searched her more. They found her American passport, and inside that were her residence papers, which said she was a journalist at Al Jazeera. And that, in her words, was when all hell broke loose. They took her off to a Syrian secret prison for 3 days. Nothing happened to her physically, but she could hear people near her being beaten, screaming for their relatives. And then they sent her off to the prison in Iran. And all of that was happening while we were putting things up on Facebook. But I can happily tell you that because of all these efforts we made, yesterday marks the 5th anniversary of Dorothy being freed. She is now running around in New York and says hello to all of you. So what is Facebook to us anyhow? Well, we have a lot of different ideas of what it is. It can be something that is some sort of evil force that's spying on us. It can cheapen our friendships, or it can be a place where we can connect and bring each other together for great causes. So I bring all this up to bring us here tonight. We are here right now in this real space with real people making real connections on behalf of a virtual friend. Because to me, KPLU is really one of my 4 a.m. friends in a real sense. And I know that some of you, probably in here, maybe found out about this event through Facebook. Possibly. And if that's the case, if a tool like this, with all of its flaws, can bring people together, then the only thing that I can say is, like. Thank you so much.